You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D. You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production. The Breakfast Show, better than coffee.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Imquinto Venti Quattro. You publish it, you'll sell it.
Hello, good morning.
Yes, indeed, a very good morning, boys and girls. How about that? You got us twice this morning. Well, they say two is better than one. It's great being with you here on The Breakfast Show this morning. By the way, it is Thursday. It is the 19th of May. I'm Jerry D. I'm going to be sitting here from now, which is 6 o'clock in the morning, until 10. Right, let's take a look. A couple of things relevant to the world of entertainment for today's date. As I said, that is the 19th of May. And let's start off by going way back in time. We're going to go back to the year 1897. Now, of course, Oscar Wilde, very, very famous. He was released from Reading Prison, on this day back in 1897. Going back to 1917, the Norwegian football club, Rosenborg BK, they're founded on this day. And in 1962, Marilyn Monroe performed a sultry rendition of Happy Birthday. This was for U.S. President John F. Kennedy. The event was a fundraiser, and it was at New York's Madison Square Garden.
Good morning, world.
Here comes the sun.
Morning in the morning.
Morning.
Buenos días en la mañana.
That mission will start in 5 seconds from now. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, hit.
The best place to be in the mornings.
The Breakfast Show with Jerry D.
Get out of my mind. My love for you is way out of line. Better run, girl. You're much too young, girl. With all the charms of a woman, you kept the secret of your youth. You led me to believe your only love, to give me love. And now it hurts to know the truth. Oh, young girl, get out of my mind. My love for you is way out of line. Better run, girl. You're much too young. You're just a baby in disguise. And though you know that it's wrong to be alone with me, that come on look is in your eyes. Oh, young girl, get out of my mind. My love for you. I'm sure she wonders where you are. Get out of here before I have the time to change my mind. 'Cause I'm afraid we'll go too far.
Yes, so there we go, starting us off this morning. That's Gary Puckett and Union Gap and Young Girl. That was 1968 was when that was released. Gold certified single that was written, composed and produced by Jerry Fuller. And I say, Gary Puckett and Union Gap recorded it with instrumental backing, by the way, of course, members of the Wrecking Crew.
On the other side of the street I knew stood a girl that looked like you. I guess that's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause you moved to West LA or New York or Santa Fe or wherever to get away from me. Oh, but that one night was more than just right. I didn't leave you, cause I was all through. Oh, I was overwhelmed and frankly scared as hell, because I really fell for you. Skip to how you've been and get down to the more than friends at last. Oh, but that one night is still the highlight. I didn't need you until I came to. And I was overwhelmed and frankly scared as hell, because I really fell for you. That's deja vu, but I thought this can't be true, cause
oh, I swear to you, I'll be there for you. This is not a drive-by, just a shy guy looking for a two-fly. Hefty bag and hold my love. When you move me, everything is groovy. They don't like it, groovy.
The Breakfast Show. It's better than coffee.
We are living in a chest to find
Oh, yes, that's the cause. And So Young. And as I say, before that, it was Train and Drive By. Time on the Breakfast Show, 30 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock. It is a Thursday morning. Happy to say we're going to be linking up a little bit later on with Dr. Computer. We'll be doing it on Zoom this morning because he's busy. I think he said he was going to be doing two Zoom calls at the same time. I just hope he can remember which one of us he's talking to. So that's going to be fun. So, yeah, that's coming up a little bit later on in the 8 o'clock hour today. In my last hour, in our last hour, during the course of the morning, we're going to be speaking. We're going to be speaking to an author. And it's a little writing. Oh, here we go. Anna-Marie Eskilsen's going to be talking to us today. She's brought a book out. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that later on. It's an amazing story. And it's, it's a story of courage and fighting and getting over some of your worst nightmares. So that's in the last hour of this morning's program. Usual bits and pieces, of course, as well. We will be looking at the local news headlines, bottom of the hour. We'll look at those in more detail, 8 and 9 o'clock this morning. And let's see, what else we got? Oh, yes, of course, international. Got some international news for you. That's going to be at 7 o'clock. 7:30 international business news. In between the two, we'll look at the weather. It's not worth looking at. It's cloudy, very cloudy. It's been raining. It was like the night before. It was raining. I woke up a few times in the night, and it was raining virtually all the time. So it's wet out there. So just sit back, relax. Let me accompany you as you take your time. Go to work. But first of all, we've got to get you all cleaned up. Indeed we do. Smelling nice, especially if you're going in the metro. Think of all those other people, and the buses, of course. What have we got for you in the shower this morning? Move over, Daddy Cool. In the shower.
She's crazy like a fool.
What about Daddy Cool?
gosh, that's great. That brings back some great memories. Boney M and Daddy Cool. This gets you out of the shower. There you come. On your way. And yeah, on your way to wherever it is you're going on this Thursday morning. Tell you what, that's brings up great, because that was one of the staples, you know, of our disco music back in 1976. Boney M, Daddy Cool, that was off of their album. It was Take the Heat Off Me, and that was in 1976. Big hit for them, and say a staple of disco music. Became Boney M's first hit as well in the United Kingdom, produced and co-written by the group's founder, a guy called Frank Farian, who also provided the male voice parts on the record as well. Yeah, that was brilliant. I enjoyed that. I feel better now. Thank you very much. This is Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan. Chaka Khan.
Thank you.
to go. That is Chaka Khan and Ain't Nobody here on the Breakfast Show. Let's keep you up to date with the time. We are just making our way about 10 seconds away right now from 24 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock. If you're sort of working out your timing, get you to work. We'll give you a hand. We'll keep reminding you as you make your way there. Or as I like to say, wherever it is you're going this morning. Another wet morning for you this morning, by the way. Misha Paris, and I never felt like this before. Let's say a couple of good mornings. Good morning to Mary Lou, who's up and about this morning. And she'll be happy. It's a nice, sort of comfortable day. Cloudy, and no sunshine. But we will take a look at the weather, see what's going to happen around about 7:15, 7:20, something like that. Also, a very good morning to Paul over there in the United Kingdom. He was just telling me that the song from Chaka Khan, Ain't Nobody, was used as the theme tune, apparently, for advertising for a company called TUI, holiday company, apparently. Talking of holidays, oh, looking forward to mine. Not that I'm counting down. I think it's, 7 weeks from this Sunday you leave? Anyway, time on The Breakfast Show. Yes, we're making our way 29 minutes, 29 minutes after the hour of 6 o'clock.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Inventa Venti Quattro. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usé Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El call center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata. Y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales @alorica. Panamá.
What's up, what's up? Your car won't start, you can't travel and breaks your heart. Valet Motors will fix it or get the parts. Just call 6431-0419 and your car will be fine with Valet Motors.
Valet Motors.
Right, let's take a look. We're 29 and a half minutes before the hour of 7 o'clock. We're going to take a look at some of the local news. We'll be looking at this in more detail a little bit later on this morning. The Department of Epidemiology, the Ministry of Health, their report for Wednesday, that there was one death due to COVID-19 registered in the country. That's in the last 24 hours. With this new death, there's a cumulative total of 8,211 deaths from the virus. And this gives us a sustained lethality of 1%. Now, of the 16,964 tests that were carried out in the last 24 hours, 3,506 were new positive cases. That's how many were detected, which translates into a positivity of 20.7%. We've got to get these numbers down, boys and girls. While a total of 27,343 are active cases throughout the country, of which 27,101 are in isolation, 242 are hospitalized. Now, those that are in isolation, they're divided into 27,025 in their residences and 76 in the so-called hospital hotels. While those hospitalized, 203 patients in the wards, 39 in the intensive care units. Do you remember we were down into single numbers not that long ago? The National Police crowd control agents fired tear gas at members of CUCO to disperse their demonstration in the Cuatro Altos sector yesterday. Protesters ran terrified as tear gas was fired while shouting slogans against the riot police. The vast majority of the protesters are teachers and members of the civil society of Colón who have joined the fight against the high cost of living. In a video recorded on Tuesday, Edgar Wattier criticised the meeting that took place the other night at the Presidency of the Republic. Wattier insisted that the coalition that called the general strike and demands that the best for the province was not represented at that meeting. The leader assured that this meeting was held with the intention of dividing CUCO and recalled that this strategy has been carried out by all previous governments as well. He said that they invited people who sympathize with the government and who tend themselves to government things to the meeting. We will continue to be busy fighting for the Panamanian people and we demand answers, he added. Although on the 13th of May, a court ordered the suspended bidding. This is for the seafood market. Remember that? Well, the Mayor's Office of Panama continues with the process. On Tuesday, an online homologation meeting was held, and it was attended by two companies, Corporación Continental and Ulife America Central. You might remember that the 18th Circuit Court of the First Judicial Circuit of Panama ordered its temporary suspension because due process was not complied with. for the call to the public consultation of November the 11th for 2020, which gave the green light to the project, was carried out without complying with the representative and participatory democratic principle, because it suffers from a prior call by the media and does not meet the period of 30 days in advance. Given that only 25 people turned up as well, appeared at the aforementioned act, which presents some irregularities regarding their participation. And also, the Mayor's Office of Panama published on Wednesday the tender for the best value for the renovation of Sabores de Chorillo, a space destined for small restaurants that sells food on the coastal strip 3 in the district of Chorillo. The base price for the tender for the project is $1 million, highlights the statement of charges. This is posted on Panama Compra's website. The structures present physical deterioration, for which repair work is necessary on them, and changes in some of their component elements that require replacement due to damage caused by the use of their workers, I guess, justified the mayor's office. The municipality, by the way, for that tender scheduled the field visit for the 26th of May at 9 a.m. A trial court in San Miguelito found attorney Zoriada Saucedo guilty of double homicide. The decision was made known on Wednesday at the end of the hearing, following the lawyer for her alleged link to the murders of the Canadian citizen Moimir Kotlika, of 62 years of age, and the Panamanian Miguel Pais, 27, an event that occurred in San Antonio in San Miguelito in the month of October 2017. Salcedo, by the way, was also found guilty of falsifying documents and public stamps to the detriment of the two victims. The public ministry has requested a sentence of 48 years in prison. The Foreign Relations Committee of the United States Senate held on Wednesday, the 18th of May, a hearing for the nomination of Mari Carmen Aponte as ambassador to Panama. On January the 5th of 2022, the administration of President Joe Biden announced that it had sent Aponte's nomination as ambassador to Panama to the Senate. The United States and Panama have a long history of partnership and collaboration to advance common goals, Aponte said in her initial message before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. And lastly, not good news. The Ministry of Energy reported that from this Friday, the prices of 91 and 95 octane gasoline will rise again. Meanwhile, diesel will drop. The 95 octane will go up 15 cents a litre, so it will sell for $1.42. When converted to a gallon, the increase works out at 58 cents a gallon. Meanwhile, the 91 octane will rise 13 cents per litre, and its sale price will be $1.33 a litre. And in the gallon, the increase of 91 octane works out at 49 cents increase per gallon. Meanwhile, low sulfur diesel will register a decrease of 6 cents. The retail price to the consumer, $1.39 per litre, for the gallon is a decrease of 22 cents. These prices will be effective from 6 o'clock on the morning of Friday, this coming morning, the 20th, and will be in place until the 3rd of June, indicated the Ministry of Energy. And that's it. Well, that's some of those things in the news. I think I'll go back to bed.
What you gonna do with my loving? I'm wishing.
Oh, isn't that good? Nice bit of funk. Inner City, what are you going to do with my loving? Breakfast show time is 18 minutes before the hour of 7 o'clock. We're on 89.3, Cool FM, smoothest place on your radio dial.
There are plenty of ways that you can keep up with us here on The Breakfast Show. Want to join in? You can WhatsApp us on 677-18822. Yes, 677-18822. It pops up right here on our screens in the studio. You can call us on 223-5162, where Yasmin is waiting to talk to you. English or Espanolish.
223-5162.
And if you're outside of Panama, just add that +507 in front of those numbers. TheBreakfastShow.com.pa and, of course, on social media.
Is anybody out there? Come here. Ah, don't touch that
dog. Wake up, you sleepy head. Put on some clothes, shake off your bed. Put another log on the fire for me. I made some breakfast and coffee. Look out my window, what do I see? A crack in the sky and a hand reaching down to me. All the nightmares came today. It looks as though they're here to stay. What are we coming to? No room for me, no fun for you. I'll think about a world to come where the books were found by the golden ones. Written in pain, written in all by a puzzled man who questioned what we were here for. All the strangers came today. It looks as though they're here. Their faces in golden rays. Don't kid yourself, they belong to you. They're the start of the coming race. The author's a bitch, we finished our news. Homo sapiens have outgrown their use. All the strangers came today, and it looks as though they're here.
David Bowie, Oh You Pretty Things, written by David Bowie, released on his 1971 album, Hunky Dory. First song he wrote, by the way, for the album, and he recorded the song as a demo before giving it into, in actual fact, singer Peter Noon, who was the lead singer of Herman's Hermits, who decided to release it as his debut solo single, featuring Bowie on piano. Noon's recording was produced by Mickey Most and featured structural and lyrical differences from the Bowie version, which was later released. Great song. Very unusual song at the time. It's unusual today, really, as well, isn't it? We're 30 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is Ben Harper. burn to shine. No shining this morning, it's a cloudy morning this morning. Tell you one thing, you're going to have to keep your, well, you're going to have to do a little bit of homework. You know what we're going to be doing? I'm going to get a little bit froggy this morning. You know what we're going to be doing on Monday? We're going to be, in actual fact, giving away two tickets to the Il Divo concert, which is coming up. You're going to enjoy that. We're going to be giving away two tickets on Monday to the concert. And what you've got to do between now and then is go do some homework. Because in order to win those two tickets on Monday, we're going to ask you a question related to Il Divo. I mean, that's going to be great. Two tickets to go and see that concert. Oh, life doesn't get any better, does it? Il Divo here in Panama. So, yeah, we're going to be giving away two tickets. That's going to be on Monday. So all you've got to do between now and Monday, got plenty of time, do some homework, read up on Il Divo, because we'll be asking a question. We'll probably be doing it before 8 o'clock on Monday. Why then, you might well ask? Well, a lot of people then are up and about taking the kids to school and listen to the program. So you get a chance then to play that with us. A contest to win two tickets to Il Divo. I like that idea. Perhaps I shouldn't have told you. Just entered myself. Probably still get the question wrong. Or the answer even. This is called You and Me. Oh,
I'm gonna take you away tonight. I've learned time moves way too fast, so I'm not gonna leave the best for last. 'Cause you and me is easy.
You'll never find your goal on a sand.
From Meatloaf. Time on the Breakfast Show. We are at 7 o'clock in the morning. You're listening to us, of course, 89.3 Cool FM.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Encuentro 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usé Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El call center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata. Y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales @alórica. Panamá.
And it's time for us to take a look at some of the international news for this Thursday morning. Moscow said on Thursday that 1,730 Ukraine fighters had surrendered in Mariupol over 3 days, including 771 in the past 24 hours, claiming a surrender on a far bigger scale than Kiev has acknowledged since ordering its garrison to stand down. The ultimate outcome of Europe's bloodiest battle for decades remained publicly unresolved, with no confirmation of the fate of the hundreds of Ukrainian troops who had held out in a recent steelworks, and a vast steelworks recently, at the end of near a three-month siege. The NATO alliance has not expressed any interest in placing nuclear weapons or permanent bases in Finland, Finnish Prime Minister Sanna Marin told Italian newspaper in an interview published on Thursday during a visit to Rome. There isn't even interest within NATO to put nuclear weapons or bases in Finland, Marin told Daily Corriere della Sera, her office has said. And when Finland and Sweden signalled that they were thinking of making a historic decision joining NATO, the alliance expected a tough response from Moscow, not from one of its own. Yet at a gathering of NATO foreign ministers with their Finnish and Swedish counterparts on Saturday to celebrate the biggest shift in European security in decades, Turkey's participant darkened the mood. Turkish Foreign Minister Mevlut Cavusoglu was in crisis mode. A NATO diplomat told Reuters of the evening meeting in Berlin. A day earlier, Turkey's President Tayyip Erdogan had shocked fellow NATO members by saying he could not support membership for either Finland or Sweden. Poland will assist Sweden and Finland should they be attacked before obtaining NATO membership, Prime Minister Mateusz Morawiecki said on Thursday. I consider the accession of Sweden and Finland to NATO as an important signal to strengthening security in Europe, he said during a conference. I want to make it clear that in the event of an attack on Sweden or Finland during their accession process, Poland will come to their aid. A handful of cases of monkeypox have now been reported or are suspected in Britain, Portugal, Spain and the United States. The outbreaks are raising alarm because the viral disease, which spreads through close contact and was first found in monkeys, mostly occurs in Western Central Africa and only very occasionally spreads elsewhere. Monkeypox is a virus that causes fever symptoms as well as a distinctive bumpy rash. It's usually mild, although there are two main strains. The Congo strain, which is more severe with up to 10% mortality, and the West African strain, which has a fatality rate of around about 1% of cases. The UK cases have been reported as the West African strain. More Shanghai residents were given the freedom to go out to shop for groceries for the first time in nearly 2 months on Thursday, as authorities set out more plans for exiting the citywide COVID-19 lockdown more fully. The commercial hub of 25 million recorded no new infections outside quarantined areas for a fifth day in a row, further cementing its zero COVID status with each day. Francesco Zanardi has spent the past 12 years documenting sexual abuse of minors by Catholic priests in Italy, filling a vacuum he says is caused by the refusal of the country's church thus far to launch a major investigation. When Italian bishops meet next week to elect a new president, Zanardi is hoping to see the start of a long overdue reckoning for the church, whose leaders will discuss whether to commission an independent investigation of abuse similar to those carried out in France and Germany. The Swiss government proposed on Thursday letting its spy agency penetrate the country's famous banking secrecy to snoop on financial transactions that it suspects are funding terrorism, espionage or violent extremism. Unveiling a draft amendment of the intelligence law for public comment, the Cabinet pointed out that the Federal Intelligence Service at present has no power to ask banks and other financial intermediaries for information on people or groups seen as security risks. Switzerland has some of the strictest domestic banking confidentiality laws in the world. In the event of serious threats to Switzerland's security, the FIS will in future be able to clarify financial flows by requesting information on transactions from financial intermediaries, a government statement has said. And that's it. That's the news for this morning. We'll look at some of the international business news around about 7:30 today as well. Time on The Breakfast Show. We're just making our way. That's to 13 minutes. That's after the hour of... coming up for 8 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. Leaping ahead of myself. I think it's probably because I want to go back to bed. Here on The Breakfast Show, Malcolm McLaren is next on the playlist. I Like You in Velvet.
There's a girl I simply dote on. She has no single flaw. A simple skirt and coat on, and a sailor. Yet she looks more splendid, ooh, than all the world too.
your frock, your hat, or your glove. I love you in velvet. I like you in plush, in satin. You are just like your own lovely blush. Maybe you'll be in your ball dress, or you perhaps I'll find dress in your what do you call dress. Oh well, never mind. It's you I love, not your frock, your hat, or your glove. I love you in velvet. I like you in plush, in satin. You are just like your own lovely blush.
Malcolm McLaren and the Bootsiller Orchestra, and I Like You in Velvet. 13 now. Now I can say 13 minutes after the 7 o'clock here on this morning's breakfast show. Malcolm McLaren, by the way, he was really quite something. Very sort of, what do we call it? Any sort of extravagant or different? English impresario, a visual artist. He was singer, songwriter, musician. He was a clothes designer as well, and a boutique owner, notable for combining these sort of activities in an inventive and provocative way. Of course, he's best known as a promoter and manager of bands, the New York Dolls and Sex Pistols as well. Right, now, let's say a very good morning, Mary Lou. Mary Lou's happy today, raining again. Says good morning, everybody. Asked if we could play a piece of music for her this morning. Through the Echoes from Paolo Nutini. No, he's not Italian, he's Scottish.
I'm always wondering what it would be like to die. She asks me why. I always smile when I feel like I'm gonna cry. She asks me why. Over the cliff in phantom sands, she's always offering me her hand. And I hear her coming through the echoes, through the echoes.
Go, that was Paolo Nutini, and through the echoes, never mind. Right time on the Breakfast Show. So, I'm getting my times all screwed up, so nearly 18 minutes after the 7 o'clock here on the Breakfast Show. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Let's take a look at the weather. That's what I'm going to blame it on, because it's all sort of rather dark out there today and a bit miserable, so that's probably delaying my waking up. Now, let's see what is happening, though, shall we, weather-wise, for this morning. Well, not for just this morning, for the day. We're going to go over to Costa Riva in the province of Colón. Let's see what's happening over in that area. 28 degrees Celsius, the maximum temperature to date, with 23 being the minimum. 34 is the thermal sensation, and 86% relative humidity over there in the province of Colón. Now, isolated showers during the course of this morning, with some stormy rain in the afternoon, and isolated rains with some thunderstorms in the night, tonight. Moving across to West Panama, let's look at this side of the isthmus. 28 degrees Celsius being the maximum temperature today, 23 the minimum, 34 thermal sensation, 87% relative humidity, partially cloudy. And this afternoon, stormy rains, tonight, a few showers. Moving along to the coast, to us here in the metropolitan area, very important, 28 degrees Celsius, the maximum temperature at 24 degrees, the minimum 34, thermal sensation, 85% relative humidity. Pretty much the same, isn't it, for everybody this morning. Cloudy during the course of this morning, that I can certainly vouch for. Stormy rains in the afternoon and chance for a few showers to night. Now, let's move out. Let's go out to the islands. Let's go into the Panama Gulf and see what's happening there. 27 degrees Celsius, the maximum temperature, 25 degrees, the minimum, 34 degrees, thermal sensation. Their relative humidity up there, almost swimming pool. 97% is the relative humidity. Isolated rains with thunderstorms during the course of this morning. Stormy rains in the afternoon and tonight as well. So there you go. Now you know. Stay home. Let's move on to the maritime conditions. We're going to start, as we do, with the tides. On the Pacific, we've got two high and one low today. High tide was at 6.04 this morning, and that was 5.06 meter high tide. Low tide, that will be just after midday at 12.07.09 of a meter. And high tide, the last one, 6.19 tonight, 5.12 meters, staying up over that 5-meter mark. Let's take a look at the Caribbean. Got a full set, two up and two down. High tide, 2.43 this morning, and that was 0.43 of a meter, with low tide coming just before 11 o'clock at 10.55 a.m., minus 0.18 of a meter. High tide again, this will be at 5.47 this evening, 0.06 of a meter, and the last low tide, not long after that, 8.02 tonight, and that'll be 0.06 of a meter. Same as yesterday, isn't it? No change, no movement. Yes, and well, I said I can never understand. I can never understand that side of things. Let's take a look and see what sea conditions are like. Small craft advisory for you this morning. This is on the Caribbean Ocean. We've got Caribbean Sea. We've got 5 to 15 kilometre an hour winds coming from the west southwest this morning, with waves at 3 feet. So do have a small craft advisory for you there. The small craft advisory continues into the afternoon. The winds are light, though. They're 5 to 15 kilometres an hour coming from the south, and waves are at 3 feet. So that's the Caribbean. On the Pacific side, we do have small craft advisory for this morning. The winds are a bit stronger than on the Caribbean. 20 to 25 kilometre an hour winds coming from the northwest this morning, with waves at 3 feet. In the afternoon, again, that small craft advisory is being maintained, 20 to 25 kilometre an hour winds. Wind direction in the afternoon, south, southeast. Waves, they're not going to change. They're going to stay at 3 feet. What we need, I think, is a bit of a summer breeze, don't you? I mean, we got breeze, but it's wet. And it's cloudy. This is the Isley Brothers, and that's what they're singing about. Summer breeze.
jasmine's in bloom. July is dressed up and playing a tune. When I come home from a hard day's work and you're waiting there, not a care in the world. See the smile waiting in the kitchen, food cooking on a plate for two. Reaching out to hold me in the evening when the day is through.
Make you feel any better, does it? Summer Breeze, that's from the Isley brothers. I tell you what, we had a piece last week, didn't we? We played quite a few pieces of music from Burt Bacharach and Hal David. And I've got one of the ones, this is going back to the 1960s, Anyone Who Had a Heart from Cilla Black. Gosh, this one does bring back memories.
Anyone who ever loved could look at me. Know that I love you. Anyone who ever dreamed could look at me and know I dream of you. Knowing I love you so, anyone who had a heart would take me in his say, this time it's goodbye, dear. Loving you the way I do, I take you back. Without you, I'd die, dear. Knowing
version that was Cilla Black there. And I tell you what, Anyone Who Had a Heart, it was written by Burt Bacharach, and the music and Hal David did the lyrics. It was originally for Dionne Warwick in 1963. In January of 1964, Warwick's original recording hit the top 10 in the United States, Canada, Spain, Netherlands, South Africa, Belgium and Australia. In the United Kingdom, the Republic of Ireland and New Zealand, Warwick's recording lost out to that one, cover version by Cilla Black. Black's version was a UK number one hit for 3 weeks in February and March of 1964, and was also the fourth best-selling single of that year as well in the United Kingdom. Sales were around 950,000
1,000 copies as well. Somebody else who recorded, by the way, was Petula Clark. She also recorded Anyone Who Had a Heart. Right now, let's see. Let me just wait, because we got this morning, it is Thursday. We're going to be talking with Dr. Computer in the 8 o'clock hour this morning. We'll be also checking in with Ingrid first. We're talking to Dr. Computer. And I tell you what, don't forget, talking about Dr. Computer, did you know that hackers can breach your security through your printer? Yeah, you can. HP Wolf Security protects you. Switch to the world's most secure computers and printers. Now, you can do this. Just visit DataServe's Instagram, which is at DataServePanama, or one word, @ DataServePanama, and get to know the HP Wolf Security technology. Yeah, didn't know that, did you? They hack you, get you through your printer. Oh, yes, they'll do that in colour and black and white. So go along and check that out. Time on The Breakfast Show, we're 29 and a half minutes, and that's before the hour of 8 o'clock.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Right, let us take a look at some of the international business news for this Thursday morning. If you've just joined us, a very good morning to you. If you can't work out because of the weather, what day of the week it is Thursday. Heavy falls in European and Asia stock markets followed Wall Street's worst day since mid-2020 on Thursday, as stark warnings from some of the world's biggest retailers underscored just how hard inflation is biting. Bond markets rallied in the dive for safety and on bets that interest rate rises may get recalibrated. But it was the gloom striking down equities after Wednesday's $25 billion wipeout in U.S. retailer Target's shares that dominated the action. Europe opened down 1.8%, led by a 2.2% fall in the retail sector, while scarlet red US futures and some sharp overnight drops in China, tech firms put 1 to 1.5 year lows back in focus. This is for the MSCI All Country World Index. Target and Walmart coming out of disappointing numbers was really, really spooking people, said Close Brothers Asset Managers Chief Investment Officer, a guy called Robert Alster. We're going to see a raft of downgrades to US GDP forecasts now. It really looks like we're running into a faster slowdown than we expected. The S&P 500 had lost 4% on Wednesday, while the Nasdaq had fallen almost 5% as interest rate sensitive mega cap stocks Amazon, Nvidia and Tesla dropped close to 7%, and while Apple tumbled 5.6%. MSCI's broadest index of Asia Pacific shares, ex-Japan, then snapped 4 days of gains as it slumped 1.8%, dragging down by a 1.65% loss for Australia's resource-heavy index, a 2.5% drop in Hong Kong, and this is and then Tokyo Nikkei shed 1.9% as well. Tech giants listed in Hong Kong were hit particularly hard, with the indices falling nearly 4%. China's online behemoth Tencent sank more than 6% after it reported no revenue growth in the first quarter, its worst performance since going public in 2004. China's technology sector is still reeling from a year-long government crackdown and slowing economic prospects stemming from Beijing's strict zero-COVID policy. Even though soothing comments from Vice Premier Liu He to tech executives buoyed sentiment on Wednesday. And Tesla Inc. Elon Musk said on Wednesday that while he voted for Democrats in the past, he's now going to vote for the Republicans. In the past, I voted Democrat because they were mostly the kindness party, but they become the party of division and hate, so I can no longer support them and will vote Republican, he tweeted. Now, watch their dirty tricks campaign against me unfold, said Musk, the world's richest man who has agreed to buy Twitter.
Reckoning they have little to lose with prices so ridiculously low, South Korean speculators in recent days have piled into Luna. Luna is a cryptocurrency that lost 99.99% of its value last week after it paired stablecoin Terra USD when that collapsed. Both tokens are affiliated with Terra, a blockchain platform co-founded by Korean developer Do Kwon. And according to blockchain analytics from Elliptic, investors in them have lost around $42 billion. Luna has been one of the world's most popular cryptocurrencies, and its downfall alongside Terra USD caused a mayhem across the crypto spectrum globally, with Bitcoin losing around about a quarter of its value between May the 9th and the 12th. And TikTok has been conducting tests so that users can play games on its video sharing app in Vietnam, part of plans for a major push into gaming for people familiar with the matter have said. Featuring games on its platform would boost advertising revenue as well as the amount of time that users spend on the app. One of the world's most popular, by the way, with more than 1 billion monthly active users. Boasting a tech-savvy population with 70% of its citizens under the age of 35. Vietnam is an attractive market for social media platforms such as TikTok, Meta Platforms, Inc., Facebook and Alphabet, YouTube and Google as well. Into cars, let's Renault unveiled on Thursday a prototype hydrogen fuel cell-powered sports utility vehicle as the French car maker scrambles to catch up with rivals in the race to cleaner driving. Renault said that the car, dubbed the Scenic Vision, would not be commercially available before 2030-32. A fully electric version will hit the market in 2024. A fuel cell vehicle has an electric motor, just like an electric vehicle, but the motor is powered by electricity produced through hydrogen, enhancing the battery's range. And last but not least this morning, Justin Chiminetti threw, well, he thought the Big Mac he bought at McDonald's and the Bourbon Black cheeseburger that he, the Bourbon Bacon cheeseburger that he bought from Wendy's would be as big and as juicy as advertised. He says they were not. And now he's suing the fast food giant chains. Chiminetti said that McDonald's Corporation and Wendy's on Tuesday, he was accusing them of defrauding customers with advertising that make burgers appear larger than they actually are. The proposed class action filed in Brooklyn federal court is similar to a lawsuit filed in March by the same three law firms against Burger King Corporation in Miami. Well, there you go. When you go for your fast food, when you go for your McDonald's or your Wendy's, remember, take a tape measure with you. We'll be right back. Rocky Beat and Small Town Boy. 17 and a half minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. Local news at the top of the hour. Oh, yes. Good morning to Renee. Got a couple of requests to get through right now. Renee came in. And by the way, she just sent us a piece of news here. She says, we're talking about McDonald's, weren't we, and Wendy's, the size of their burgers. Well, somebody doesn't seem to mind. He says, you won't be surprised to hear that Donald thinks the burger is the best sandwich in the world. You'd have to think so to eat one almost every day for 50 years. More often than not, he actually eats two Big Macs a day. In August of 2021, we celebrate Donald's updated record for the most Big Mac burgers eaten in a lifetime, with a new official total of 32,340 Big Macs. There we go. Who said they weren't healthy for you? However, that still wasn't enough to satisfy Donald's appetite for an iconic hamburger. On the 17th of May, that's yesterday in actual fact, no, day before yesterday, isn't it? Same with the time, got my days mixed up. Yesterday, it says the 17th of May, marked the 50-year anniversary of him eating the McDonald burger almost daily, missing only 8 days over the last half century. Donald went down to his local McDonald's restaurant in Fond du Lac in Wisconsin to celebrate his Big Mac-iversary, the very same branch where he first had the Big Mac going back into 1972. According to Donald, it was love at first bite. In that moment, I said, I'm going to probably eat these for the rest of my life. Well, I tell you, he's not done too bad. He's lived quite long, hasn't he, on Big Macs? So thank you for that. Thank you for that, Renee. And she says, she also says, good morning. No more rain, please. It's depressing. She says, please play What I Wish For. And it's a sunshine day by the Baby Brunch. That's enough of the sunshine. The Brady Bunch there. Oh dear, oh dear. I tell you what I meant. How many of you, you must all remember the Brady, most. No, quite a lot of you probably won't remember the Brady Bunch. Anyway, that was for Renee this morning. Hope you enjoyed that. Hope it brought you a little bit of sunshine as well. Let's also say good morning to Anna Maria this morning. She says, hello, good morning to you. She says, I haven't requested a song for quite a while. Today I feel like some ABBA. Would you please play Just a Notion? Have a great day. Thank you, Anna Maria. You too. This isn't you two, this is ABBA. Just a Notion. Just a Notion. I have a guest coming in, by the way, in the last hour of this morning's programme. So we'll be linking up with Dr. Computer a little bit later on, probably around about 35 minutes time, something like that. But also my last hour this morning, we'll be chatting with Anna Maria Eskildsen. Now, this is called Mine, Hers, Yours. It's the first book that she's written. And presents it to the public. It's the result of years of reflection, a long healing process after a terrible disaster, and a test of her curiosity. It's also the sign that more than the result, what matters is the process. She'll be talking to us all about that later on this morning. That's Anna Marie Eskildsen coming in to chat with us this morning. Oh, something else I want to remind you about. Of course, this is our friends at Encuentra Venti Quattro. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but you can visit the Zona de Descuento. This is for cars and real estate in Encuentra Venti Quattro. Find up to 70% of discounts in cars, apartments and houses.
The best deals are there. Yeah, in Encuentra 24. And of course, when it comes to cars, they sell every 6 minutes someone buys a car on Encuentra 24. Now, you've got more than 5,000 cars to pick from in that's just in Panama. All right, so do it quickly because they go fast. Every 6 minutes. Encuentra 24. If you publish it, they'll buy it. All right. Well, it is still cloudy out there and it's been raining. Let's just hope there's some sunshine after the rain.
Everywhere I go, I see a face we used to know. I pass a place we used to go when you were mine. Since you went away,
since you went away,
my heart's not free. It keeps on raining down on me. Will there be a day when the sun will shine?
Elkie Brooks and sunshine after the rain. I'm lucky. The sun is always shining in my house. All I have to do is wake up in the morning, look at my beautiful wife, and it's a sunshiny day. Here's Stevie Wonder. You're the sunshine of my life.
Oh,
it goes. Mr. Stevie Wonder, you are the sunshine of my life. We just make our way up to the top of the hour as we make our way up to 8 o'clock. Don't forget, Dr. Computer is joining us around about 8.25 this morning. We're going to be talking tech with Dr. Computer. And as I said, Anna-Marie Iskilson is joining us in the last hour of the day. So, interesting little morning. But as for right now, it's time to do this.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Inventa 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usted encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
Te paso un dato. Alórica te contrata. El call center de Panamá tiene más de 300 plazas de empleo en sus oficinas ubicadas en Juan Díaz. Son de contratación inmediata. Y lo mejor es que recibirás beneficios como seguro médico, bonos de desempeños y mucho más. Solo necesitas ser mayor de edad, saber inglés avanzado y tener muchas ganas de aprender. Si no tienes experiencia, nosotros te entrenamos. Aplica en el WhatsApp 833-7709 o en nuestras redes sociales @alórica. Panamá.
Whoa! Valet Motors, best car service around Panama. WhatsApp them at 6431-0419. Valet Motors.
Valet Motors.
And your sorrows grow. You read and try to watch TV. Take a drive out to the sea. You might break down, but you can't break free. Standing in a crossfire, hanging from a live wire, reaching for. But you end up last, standing in a crossfire, hanging from a live wire, reaching for a lost smile, and hiding in the wind, standing in a crossfire, stranded on a high wire, running from a reason. Looking for a friend.
hey, yes, how you doing? Oh, I'm out in the yard right now. What a beautiful sight. There's a big old papaya tree. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 papayas on that one. Ooh, yeah, I'm going to have me some papaya. You got to cut that top off so I can get some more coming out of there. We have at least 6, 7 papaya trees in the yard. And we have a lot of... What is that? What is that? Oh, my goodness. It looks like... Oh, I have a banana sprouter coming up. Oh, my God. Yes. Yahoo. It's going to happen. Oh, yeah. It's going to cover up the lemon tree, but that's, you know, that's not here or there. Ah, oh, another rainy morning in the yard, walking around, seeing what's growing, what's happening in the yard, what's going on in the neighborhood. Ooh, that's plantains. Well, I got to do some harvesting around here. Got some lots of good stuff to nummy, nummy, nummy. Well, the grass, I think, is going to have to get cut, if not this week, next week. It's getting up pretty tall here. And we started to lay out a new flower bed since the tree's gone, so we have a space for a flower bed, and we have no worries about trees. Oh, look, there's some little mushrooms. Hi, little mushrooms. I bet you're not the kind that I like to eat. No, probably not. Those are probably toadstools. What do you say there, huh? Oh, my goodness. I've got orchids in the tree now, too. It's a beautiful, wet morning in El Valle. Wishing you all the best because tomorrow is going to be Freaky Friday. Fun facts. There's another papaya tree. Hi, 1, 2, 3, 4. We got lots of blooms there. Oh, my goodness. And my poinsettia tree has got a tomato plant growing in the middle of it. What are you doing there with the tomato, huh? Okay, I'll make sure you're fine. But boy, is that coming around nicely. It's going to be a nice weekend. I'm going to have to drive into the city as usual. The tile man finished laying some tiles on the house, so I got to go in there and clean up after him. And get the house, get that thing shown, get that thing rented so I can have some more freedom here. So I can stay up here in El Valle. Okay, well, you go keep washing your hands. Stay safe, be healthy. And tomorrow will be your Freaky Friday Fun Facts. And for now, back to you in the studio. Who knows? Who did a traffic hit on something that I eat that makes me gango? I do carry on to put enjoying bananas. Someone booked me a room in the house, singing the food all my mananas. But I'm going bananas. But I'm going with sugar. There's bags in my belfry. Don't you make sure the tray check is tight? Otherwise, I might get myself free. Yes, there's bags in my belfry. Oh, wait. Who knows? Could be the wine I drink. Or that's the way I think. That makes me gango. Oh, Dr. Alambo says I'm going bananas. Someone get me a pretty. I'm going banana. I'm going banana.
Oh, there we go. It's David Grant and Jackie Graham there. And could it be I'm Falling in Love? And before that, Madonna. And she was going bananas. Time on the Breakfast Show. If you keep in on the time, 25 minutes right now. That's after the hour of 8 o'clock. And we're just waiting to link up with Dr. Computer. As soon as we do that, we'll be with him. Talking Tech. That's it, anywhere you want it. And that was from Journey. And time on the Breakfast Show, 27 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. Time to squeeze a couple of minutes of that one in because it is, well, time to link up with Dr. Computer Alex Newman.
DataServe presents Tech with Dr. Computer. The innovations of our technological world are here on the Breakfast Show. This tech world is also a paradise for hackers looking to steal your information. HP Wolf Security protects you. Switch to the world's most secure computers and printers. Visit DSPMA.com and get to know the HP Wolf Security technology.
Oh, there we are, yes. Keep a wolf at your door, that's what I say. Good morning, Dr. Computer Alex Newman.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. Got a busy morning this morning. Don't put your finger up my nose like that.
No, I'm just switching the camera over so you can see the view from right now, Calle 50. I'm coming to you live from there.
Okay.
I'm attending the local Cámara Panameña de Tecnología. That's the local chamber of technology. It's like a chamber of commerce, but with enterprises that are dedicated to things around technology. And today's topic, the one they're talking about today, is electronic invoicing, which is pretty interesting. Maybe we can touch up on that subject on a later show.
Yeah, no, it's not a bad idea. Because, I mean, is that the type of thing like, you know, everybody, well, the DGI is now trying to get all this electronic invoicing done. And when you do an invoice now, when you pay for something, I think in a lot of cases it automatically gets sent to the DGI, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And you get an email with, like an electronic version of the invoice, and it can be checked online and whatever. Mm-hmm. You can still, pay for things cash and not give out your name or whatever, which is fine for privacy reasons. But if you need something like, you know, if you're going to expense something, if you're buying something for your company or for your business use or whatever, it's a handy way of not having to keep all those, you know, paper receipts that fade away in a couple of weeks,
sometimes hours. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just came back from a business trip last week, and a lot of the businesses in this other country that I went to had the electronic invoice, and it just made things easier for me coming back to do the expense report.
Yeah, no, I mean, it does seem a good, like, idea, but it's a little bit, you know, Big Brother is knowing everything you're doing, isn't it?
As long as you tell Big Brother. If you don't, then, I mean, it's okay. For example, if you're a company, you know, you pretty much by definition have to report your earnings to the government for tax purposes.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're an individual, you don't have to give out your name and you don't have to give out your email. just, you know, invoice the cash and that's it. And, you know, no problem there. So I think it's the best of both worlds. You keep privacy, enough privacy for those who are privacy concerned, and you make things easier for the accountants who, by the way, I think it was last week, we had the official Panama Accountants Day, Accountants Day.
That's right.
Day.
So,
you know, a shout out to all the accountants out there doing God's work. Definitely one of the most boring and tedious but necessary parts of doing business.
Well, it is. Well, of course, my wife, Christina, she's an accountant by profession. And I always say to her, I never know how you get any work done for the company because you spend one half of your time working for the DGI and the other half of your time working for the banks. And, and neither of them pay you.
That is correct.
But no, so I tell you, I take my hat off. I mean, I'm not a mathematical person by any stretch of the imagination, but definitely. So all your accountants out there, contadores, congratulations. Thank you.
Yep, contadores, auditores, and everything in between.
That's right. So tell me a little bit about this chamber, by the way. I mean, I guess, you know, we have the CCIAP, which is the business chamber. So there's obviously a technology, you know, as you say, a technology chamber, which I believe I've sort of heard about when we're doing sort of things with the news. What are the sort of aims with, I mean, in Panama, are we sort of lagging behind or are we pretty good when it comes to technology?
Well, we are definitely lagging behind other places in the world. We might be ahead of some countries in the region, but there's still a lot of work to do. And associations such as the Panama Chamber of Technology, what they try to do is work on that old adage that the rising tide raises all boats, in the sense that even though a lot of companies in the chamber compete with each other, there's also a spirit of let's see how we can make things better for everyone, because a better market means there's more of a chance for companies and people to acquire our products and services. So if we can, you know, do things to improve society by helping make better laws or helping more people know about certain technologies or cybersecurity or things like that, then the better it is for everybody. For example, today's topic being electronic invoicing, a lot of people don't know how that works. And the more companies know about how this works and how they can help their customers with their electronic invoicing needs, the better for everyone. So it's kind of a, I like the merging of the words competition and cooperation and call it co-opetition, in the sense that we are competing with each other, but we are cooperating to make things better for everyone.
No, absolutely. And talk about making things better. I know you chatted with Yasmin yesterday, something we could talk about today, which is something which I've mentioned quite a few times with regards to recycling, because we talk quite a bit about recycling when we can on the show. And one of these things, of course, is electronic equipment, Alex. Now, I mean, for instance, I know that, you know, Neil said, oh, where can I get, he's got two something like 50 or 40 something inch TVs that weigh about a ton each. They're sort of fairly old. And of course, the thing is that the question is, you know, what do you do with this stuff? I mean, people have printers lying around and old computers. That what do we do with them, Alex? Is there anybody here that specializes in taking this equipment?
Yes, there is. I mean, unfortunately, they don't have a big budget for advertising or anything like that, but there are a couple of places here in Panama where you can take this equipment. For example, I was interviewing yesterday someone from a company called Techology, that's T-E-C-O-L-O-G-Y, and they not only take your old equipment for like recycling or whatever, they make sure that if it's still usable, it gets reused in a responsible manner, either by, you know, selling it secondhand or donating it to certain places. You can still use a 10-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 5-year-old computer as long as you, you know, make certain, you know, arrangements like get a solid state drive or maybe a little bit more memory. And even older computers like 10, 15-year-old computers, you can still reuse them as internet terminals if you use operating systems like Linux or like Google Chrome OS. We have mentioned that on the show previously. You take a USB, you create a Chrome OS installer, You put that on that old machine, boot from it, and you get a computer that can do everything that you can do on a browser. That's, you know, Microsoft Teams, Google Meet, or Zoom, and then Word, Excel, and PowerPoint, but not on the computer. You run it on the web at office.com, which is free in most situations. You can still pay for it if you want to install it on the computer, but if you want to run it online, you can run it online for free. There's a lot of use that you can get out of these older computers. Of course, there are even older ones that can't even run that. So you try to see what you can do about recycling them properly, because there's a lot of like valuable metals like copper and gold, but there's also a lot of things like rare earths or like poisonous things like lithium, especially in batteries and old batteries. There's mercury. There's a whole bunch of things that need to be disposed of properly. So they will help you by taking the equipment and then having it disposed of in a responsible way by the three or four recycling places that are allied with technology. So that was a very interesting conversation. Now, computers are not the only thing that you can reuse. For example, a lot of people use their like Android phones or iPhones or whatever for several other purposes. For example, you can use them as motion sensors with certain applications that you can run on these phones. You can use them to detect motion in your home. You can use them as like a baby monitor or like a camera in your home. There's a lot of places in the world where even the local authorities are teaming up with people to reuse their phones in a way that they can use like an emergency neighborhood monitor system and things like that. You can also use them, and this is pretty interesting. I have an old phone that doesn't work very well anymore, but I use it as a monitor for my computer's memory and hard drive space and whatever, like a little tiny dashboard next to my computer or my server, and I can use it as that. Or I can point it at the camera that's in my Ring doorbell, and I can watch the doorbell from there if I'm expecting, you know, a package delivery or whatever. One other interesting thing that I've seen is I have a keychain. I don't have it with me, that was built with the aluminum or aluminium, as you say, on the other side of the pond of a old Macintosh portable, one of those MacBook Pros from a few years ago. And it's made out of the aluminum. They melt it down, then they mold it with machine tools and so on. And they make jewelry out of it, or accessories, or even, you know, things that you put on your desk to, you know, like a paperweight or whatever. They can make really interesting stuff about recycled, not only electronics, but also like wood and old furniture that's, you know, gone bad or whatever. So there's this place in Ciudad del Saber, called something Fab Lab. I'll have to get you that information as well, where they take old equipment like computers and whatever, and they make art out of it, which is really interesting. I made a wreath out of old memory sticks because they're green, so they kind of look nice, and then I tied it up with a red network cable that looks kind of like a red bow, and I use that as a Christmas decoration on my door. So there's a lot of stuff you can do about that. There's quite a lot of projects online that you can look for on YouTube or whatever to use old computers for things like, you know, making flower pots or making, you know, fish tanks and things like that. So there's quite a lot of things you can do with like an extremely old computer. But if you find one from the 80s or the 90s and you're in Panama, let me know. I collect those. I've got a couple of video game consoles from the 70s. I've got an old Commodore computer from the 80s and so on. And, you know, there's quite a big, audience out there of people who like me grew up in the 80s with these computers and so on. And they like to tinker with them and make them work again and so on. So if you find one, let me know. Or you can always sell it on eBay. They sell really well, especially if they're in good condition. And if they're not, still, there are a lot of people who will, you know, take them from you and just clean them up and set them up and, mm-hmm. and make them work again. And it's fun to see 40 and 50 year old computers going back online and beeping and buzzing and doing all those weird noises they did back then.
And tell me though, I mean, this is a, but what about TVs, for instance? I mean, because they can be quite hazardous, can't they, because of the screens and...
Yeah, most screens nowadays use LEDs, right. But older screens used compact fluorescent lights for their light source instead of LEDs. Mm. And compact fluorescent lights, like the ones that used to be on the ceiling before, contain mercury and other toxic chemicals. So it's important that if you have one of those televisions that use a CFL to dispose of it properly. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of places, if you look up on Google, Panama Electronics Recycling, you'll see that there are at least three or four places that you can take it to that will take it from your hands and dispose of it properly. Mm-hmm. That being said, there's a great channel that I recommend called DIY Perks. And it's a British guy, by the way, really good at what he does. He takes things like old televisions and then turns them into overhead lights or all sorts of things with them. And that way you can get a lot more use out of something that for whatever reason, maybe the parts are not made anymore. Mm-hmm. You can't really fix and get working again. So if you look for information on upcycling and reusing and so on and so forth, there's a lot of resources online. And if you find something that you haven't had a chance to get rid of or maybe think about new uses for it, just write to me at Vida Digital on Twitter, Facebook, all the social media, and I'll be glad to, you know, see what alternatives there are available for that.
Okay, that sounds like a good idea. I tell you what, one thing I just wanted to tell our listeners, though, because in, not that I'm counting down the days, but I think it's 7 weeks on Sunday, I'm going off on vacation. Nice vacation, our first one for a long time. We're going to be away for about 3 weeks. But one of the things I'm doing is sort of getting everything organized, make sure your passports are all done and so on and so forth, and visas and whatever you need, all your sort of COVID documentation, et cetera, which we'll have with us. But what I have is I've got one here. It's a small key ring USB thingy. What I do
that's
when
a Kingston data traveler, by the way, right?
That's it. When it's going to travel, because what I do with this is I have on here in a locked folder. Copy of my passport. It's going to have a copy of all my vaccine information, copy of my driving, a copy of all my sort of documentation I need and whatever. Because on holiday, you can lose things or things can get stolen. And at least this way, you have got a record of all your documentation that you had with you. So if you have to go to an embassy, if you go, you can just, they can just look at this information, see what you've got. And, the thing is, if you have one of these little software thingies on your stick, which you can actually lock that folder, it means that if you do lose this or lose your, whatever you keep it on or your keys or whatever, they cannot access that folder with that information in it without knowing the password. I don't think they can hack through that, can they, Alex?
It's very unlikely that they could, and if they did, they would probably have enough of a budget to just hire somebody to hit you over the head with something or whatever. So it's a matter of just the cost of opportunity. I mean, how expensive would it be to actually get at those documents? Too expensive to bother. So that's basically it. That's
and,
how that
and
works.
Anyway,
now,
they're not going to know what's in that folder anyway. So
exactly. So you can just rename the folder old episodes of The Breakfast Show, and, you know, nobody
will bother to open those. Yeah. throw that thing away.
But one thing about reusing these USB devices, it's a good thing to know that even though they are quite resilient, they are rated for a certain number of thousands of operations on them. So if you had that, I don't think so, because that looks pretty brand new. But if you've had one of those USB devices like that for many, many years, it's not a bad idea to go out and buy one. They're usually found for less than $10 and just copy everything to that new one and keep the old one in a safe place for safekeeping, because it won't deteriorate if you're not using them.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes for things like old hard disks as well.
Yeah.
Now, if you are going to recycle,
I was going to ask you about this, because if you're getting rid of a computer, what is, you know, from here, because I've got boxes of them, is in fact all my hard drives. I never get rid of the computer with a hard drive in it.
Exactly. That's very important to note. But if you do want to get rid of a hard drive and be able to recycle it without thinking that somebody's going to pick it up at the landfill and then go through your browser history, one easy way to do that, and please wear protective equipment while you do this, is to just drill a hole through it.
Right, like you would with Dracula or a stake or something.
Exactly. No holy water required, but it doesn't hurt if you have it. Especially if you're going to look at your browser history. But once you go through a hard drive and make a couple of holes, it would take so much time and effort and money to get that data back that it wouldn't be worth it. I mean, the closest thing to something like that I ever saw was this company called Drive Savers that I worked with to recover data. They recovered about 80% of the data that was in the shuttle hard drives when it exploded. So you can imagine that thing going through reentry and so on and so forth. They actually got some information out of it. But if you just drill a couple of holes through, you know, most hard drives, it's going to take too much time and effort to get that data back.
I remember, I don't know if it's still done, but the current hard drives. But I mean, in the old days, you used to demagnetize them. You used to use a demagnetizer, and it would destroy all the information on the hard drive.
You can do that with floppy disks, and you can use that.
You can't do it with a
really. Yeah, you can use it with real hard drives from like last century, but the ones in this century need so much concentrated magnetic power on a single spot that one of those big magnets that you used to demagnetize tapes with would probably wipe only part of the data, not all of the data. So if you're really, you know, if you're really adamant about your data not falling into other people's hands, the best thing you can do is just physically destroy the platter. And the next best thing is to write zeros on top of every sector of the hard drive. It is true that it used to be that the Department of Defense would recommend you write three times, once with zeros, once with ones, and once with, and one time with random data, to just make sure that there was no way to even recover a shadow of the data, which would be kind of like, you know, that old trope in movies where they would rip out a page of a book that somebody written on it or whatever, and somebody would come in with a piece of another piece of paper and trace out with a pencil and make like a pencil.
Oh, that's right. So you would get stencil. To see the writing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's not possible anymore in any practical way. It used to be back in the last century. You could still read some of the previously recorded data. Like you probably remember from tapes, if you didn't delete a tape properly way back when, you could still hear like the shadow of what was there, especially in the quiet parts.
What if somebody says, Alex, oh well, so you know, before I got back, you know, I didn't, all I did was I erased all the data. But isn't there a system whereby, though, you can find that data again, couldn't you?
Yeah, the thing is, when you format a drive and you don't use the thorough option, or if you use the quick option, what it does, it just wipes the table where it stores, where everything is clean. But everything is still stored there. I remember a legal case many, many years ago. I think it was around the turn of the century, where somebody had a computer that they had formatted and then put another version of Windows on it, and even Word, Excel, and PowerPoint. It was just like a brand new computer. And I was part of this forensic investigation, and I just scanned the entire hard drive with a forensic tool, and way in the end of the hard drive, because it was previously pretty full, there was still a copy of a folder, and within that folder was a video that the person that did the bad thing made And that person was there talking about how they did the bad thing and laughing about the person that they did the bad thing to.
Mm.
And we submitted that as evidence. I mean, it was surreal because here was the person who did the bad thing gloating about how they did the bad thing to the innocent person. And that was because they thought that by formatting the computer, nobody would be able to have the evidence.
But if you do the full format, though, if you do the full format,
exactly.
that will clear the whole disk.
Exactly, because it does write zeros to everything, and then it's pretty close to impossible to get that information back.
Interesting. What about solid state? Is it any different dealing with those solid state drives?
Solid state is slightly different because any solid state drive made in the last 10 or 15 years has something called trim. When you're going to write something to a solid state drive, it first has to reset what's there to zero and then write whatever it is it needs to write. What happens is if you delete a file and the operating system says that space is empty and it can be used, your data is still there. But if you want to write something, it has to zero it out and then write, which makes everything slow. And it used to be that if you had a solid state drive, after a while, it started getting slower and slower and slower as you filled out the drive. Modern day drives have something called trim, which if the computer's not doing anything, it'll notice these empty spots and zero them out for you without even telling you, so that it preserves the speed. And the problem with that is if you want something to be deleted, it's probably deleted already. The problem with that is if you want to get something back, it's probably deleted already.
Right.
So it's really important if you have a solid state drive on your computer to have a solid backup strategy, because it used to be that you could go into the blank space on your drive and find what files were there. But more and more, the controllers on the solid state disks are getting smarter and smarter about telling the computer, hey, now that you're not doing anything, I'm going to do some cleanup and clean up some blank space. So it might be a few minutes after you just deleted a file and you can't get it back anymore because it's been cleaned up by the garbage collection utility inside the storage device. So be careful about solid state storage. It's still the best alternative, but you need to have a solid backup strategy for your solid state drive.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Good. So are you going back off to your meeting now?
Yes, I am, and I want to talk to a lot of the members here as well to see what we can do together and, to raise all the boats with the tide.
Oh, wonderful. Good. Well, enjoy and have fun. Tell them all that they should be listening to The Breakfast Show while you're doing it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. I'll let them know.
Dr. Computer Alex Newman, as always, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for all your useful information this morning. There'll be information on that, of course, on our website as well, with some links to Alex. That's thebreakfastshow.com.pa. All the best, Alex. Take care.
Data Surf presented Tech with Dr. Computer. The innovations of our technological world are here on The Breakfast Show. This tech world is also a paradise for hackers looking to steal your information. HP Wolf Security protects you. Switch to the world's most secure computers and printers. Visit DSPMA.com and get to know the HP Wolf Security technology.
Escucha Cool FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
Thank you.
There we go, that's the Four Tops there, and it's the same old song. Big thanks to Dr. Computer, Alex Newman, and by the way, don't forget, if you're like me working from home, but don't forget, cyber predators always work from home as well, a lot of them do. Isn't it time for, for your security to do it too? Work from home. Protect yourself and your workplace with HP Wolf Security. Switch to the world's most secure computers and printers. All you've got to do is visit www.dspma.com. That's www.dspma.com. And get to know the HP Wolf Security technology. Wow! Can't do that very well, can I? I do try. Very trying, some would say. Take us up to the top of the hour. If you missed the news at 8, don't forget we got it for you at 9 o'clock this morning. Guests coming in the next hour of this morning's program. I'll tell you more about that after the news. Take us there, Barry Blue, dancing on a Saturday night.
FM 89.3 con la música más refrescante en tu radio.
Cool FM.
You are listening to The Breakfast Show with Jerry D, a Cool FM and Panama Broadcasting Corporation production.
The Breakfast Show is brought to you thanks to Encuentro 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.
¿Qué tal, Javier? Ahí vi que estabas vendiendo tu carro.
Sí, mira que ya se vendió.
¡Wow! ¡Qué rápido! Yo te lo quería comprar.
Sí, se fue volando. Usé Encuentra 24. Ingresa ahí. Hay miles de carros que se publican diario y súper seguro para comprar o vender.
Encuentra 24, la plataforma digital más innovadora para buscar, comprar, rentar o vender lo que quieras. Encuentra 24. Si lo publicas, lo vendes.
It's Morning Radio, The Breakfast Show with Jerry D on 89.3 Cool FM from the heart of Panama City in English.
disco when the cold winds blow and my guitar's on a plane. Oh. My fatal hesitation made me miss the show. Oh. Space.
Oh, there we go. That's Boyzone, by the way. And A Different Beat is what it's called. And it is different, isn't it? It was rather nice for that. A little bit of Africanization to that one. Time on the Breakfast Show, if you keep an eye on the time. We're just after 19 minutes. That's after the hour of 9 o'clock. You listen to us on 89.3, Call FM. And it's time to welcome my guest. And we've got Anna-Marie Isgildsen. Good morning. Lovely to have you back in the studio.
It's an honor to be here again.
Yes, yeah, because, I mean, completely different reason you're here this time, because for those that remember, Anna-Marie was here talking about Camp Wandu.
My old self.
Your old self, yeah. That's the only one I got left.
Yeah.
I've only got the old one left. But here we're here to talk about something completely different. You've just bought a book out. Now, how do you say, because when I look at it, when my English translation, it sort of switches the words around. Mine, hers, yours?
Yeah.
Oh, good, that's right. I'm glad about that. Tell us, I mean, it's something which is best explained by you, and I haven't mentioned it so far this morning, but just the fact that you went through a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
Let's start there, where this sort of started.
Okay, so when I was 13, this was like a tsunami, emotional tsunami in Panama. I mean, our little country, it was kind of shaken up like this. When I was 13, my mother was a real estate agent for like 3 weeks. She hadn't been going long. Everything kind of just played against her. Like, it was just a line of coincidences. She got an appointment from a man who was looking to rent a house, and he was actually a serial rapist. And when he had a bunch of cases, he's from Costa Rica, he got a bunch of cases from Costa Rica, and then he also had a bunch here that had not been looked into at all, even though they had information about where he lived and everything. Mm-hmm. He was just walking through the streets. And he tried to rape her, and she defended herself, and she died in the process. He's a karate expert. And
oh,
then,
yeah?
Yeah, and then it was everything from that point on felt like a movie, like a thriller, because it was after that he escaped prison, and then he went on to Colombia to do a bunch of other stuff. And it just always felt like this horror movie that into. It's
how,
very
how
hard.
How old were you at the time?
I was 13.
Oh,
I was
my
13.
God.
It was, this is 1998. And it was very hard to understand that this was reality. There's a part of the book about, like, the dreams and just, I had these recurrent dreams where I'd wake up from the nightmare.
I can imagine.
And I was just hoping that I would wake up from the nightmare. And it's even hard for me right now to understand that this is actually true, that this actually happened. And in the book, I also tell the story about, because the story is not about what happened, but what happened afterwards.
Well, basically what happened to you and how you got through this. And,
It's the light that you're only able to see in the darkness. And it's that path from the idea or the illusion of solitude into the unity and the love and I think I can speak for my brothers as well that it was so big in Panama, and we felt like it, like we were everybody's eyes.
Right.
Were looking at us with these like pobrecito, like these pity faces. And It was just constant. It was all the time. And all I wanted to do was be normal and pretend like I was okay so that nobody would...
So really, these people trying to, you poor thing, we must make you feel better, which is probably not what you need.
It was the other way. You know. But it's like, let's say you have a handicap of, I don't know if that's the correct word, but it's like, let's say you have some sort of physical...
Disability
that shows, and that people are going to look at it.
Sure.
So you can't change the world. You can't change people looking at you as if you're walking, because that's not going to happen.
Sure.
So you have to work inward so that you heal. And I have no idea what that feels like. But sometimes when I stop and I do the pobrecito face, I'm like, how can I stop this on me? But then I realized you can't change the world. So it's just, it was the process of looking inward and seeing and learning. And I did not know this when I was writing the book, but understanding how I was pitting myself and how you start sabotaging your life so that you can sustain that pobrecito, that
I mean,
pity.
Did you feel within yourself you were the pobrecito?
It was this big polarity because I was like pretending all the strength and I'm fine. And then at the mass, I stood up and I spoke to everybody that we had to celebrate her life and blah, blah, blah. And everybody would say, wow, Ana Mari's so strong. And how does she cope with this? I wouldn't be able to do this. I would get that phrase so much. I would not be able to do that. And it was like, A, this is not a choice. B, I think that was a huge facade. And I still get people telling me, like, I was so surprised and so inspired by that. And in hindsight, it was my survival mode. I was not able to cope.
Sure, it was a facade. It was the sort of the front. In order, you're putting that front up to protect yourself as well anyway.
And it's what I needed at the time because it's not something that I regret. We were talking about earlier before we got here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that I regret. Do I regret not going to the shrink earlier? And I always tell people when they're people going through a process of grieving, what is the right way? And there is no right way.
So just talking about that, I mean, it's interesting. Do you find, I mean, I've never been to a psychiatrist in my life, which is probably, they're lucky because they'd have to charge a fortune for me. But do you find that actually did help you, a psychiatrist?
Yeah, it did. I think that I put a stop to it when I had to, because if not, it would have gone forever. And it was just this process of...
And in a way, it's like a medication, isn't it? If you get sort of, you get into this sort of routine, you get hooked on it.
It becomes your identity.
Yeah. Yeah.
It becomes your identity. Like, I have these issues because this thing happened to me. And now, having been over that and just kind of, and that's the tuya of the book, the yours of the book. Like, I'm giving it to you when you read it. And it becomes part of the unity, part of the love, part of everybody's story because it belongs to all of us. And then when I return it back, I have people come up to me like, what you did and blah, 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 and how you confronted all this. And I'm like, who is? I don't know who this person is. I just feel there's like this new person who's going to write all these books and all these novels. And I just feel I just fulfilled the dream of walking with the unbearable lightness of being. You know, like I always read that. I read that book and I felt the lightness of being of Sabine. And I always dreamt of that lightness, of that joy, of that dealing with sadness, not with the weight of 15 sadnesses before that, you know, because I used to cry for one thing and then cry for all the ones before that. And now I am able to, like, let's say I crash my car, I'm sad about what is happening in the present moment and not just this huge baggage behind. And I feel this lightness of being that I thought was only possible for the people, for those others that had never been through tragedy, when everybody has their thing.
Yeah, no, we all go through grief for some time. And I mean, I remember my aunt. I was very, very close to my aunt. And she had cancer and she suffered for a long time. I didn't get to see her. I think it was just time when I'd long come out of the Air Force or whatever. And she passed. But I hadn't seen her for a long time. My mother used to go down and see her. She was quite a long way away. My mother would go down and see her. And I went to see her at the funeral home. And here was somebody that I was close to. And when I saw her lying, I couldn't believe what I saw. She looked like a witch. I mean, literally. It was scary. And I was taken aback. I was in shock. And I couldn't get this out of my head, this vision. And the only way I did it eventually was I actually sketched what I saw and put it on paper. Now, to me, that was almost like it was like exorcism. It sort of took it out of me, put it on a piece of paper, and for the life of me, I don't know where it is. I certainly wouldn't have thrown it away, but I've never seen it since, well, many, many years. But that to me was, it got it out of me and got it onto something else. Is this book a little bit like that for you, or?
Totally. I think you just put into better words what I've been advocating for the past few years. And it's, I have my journal with me everywhere. I'm a big, I'm a big advocate for journaling. And what I always say, it's not necessarily writing a book. It's not, it's just putting the ramble of your mind down on paper, the fear, the pain, the whatever emotion you want to leave your body. It wants to come out. It wants to be seen. It wants to be heard. It wants to be felt. So you have to put it down somehow. Some people put it down in words. Some people put it down in drawing. But it has to come out so that you can see it from the different angles. And then you could just maybe put it in the trash. Maybe burn it. Maybe do whatever you want with it. But it's outside of your body. And it has to leave the mind, because the mind can be very cruel. And it could just loop and loop and loop. Until you observe the thought. It's like that whiny cousin or somebody at the table that keeps on telling the same story over and over again. And we're like, we heard you, but you didn't really, you know?
Right.
You have to kind of acknowledge them and be like, that's a fun, interesting story you got there. And then you can just later, then they can shut up. They can feel heard. And then that can stop. But we need to give it a voice.
No, absolutely. Now, when you went about, you know, when you, well, what made you initially then decide to put it into writing, into a book, or, you know, not really just into writing for your sake, but deciding to put it into writing to give to other people?
I think the deciding of putting it out to other people came later, because there's that part messes with the ego. So I wasn't able to handle that while I was writing. I love to read, and I just love to read whatever I can get my, well, not whatever I can get my hands on, but whatever love story or whatever I am interested in. I love writing. I love authors, and I dreamt of being one.
So you've always had this eye with somewhere inside
the
you.
The desire was there. And then I went into writing workshops and all these things, and it was really funny. Horrible that I would let's say I was in a writing workshop and we had to write a short story, and these like horrid stories would come out of me. Like I was trying to write happy stuff, joyful stuff, and I wasn't able to. There was like these stories of abuse, and clearly this story wanted to come out, and it was like a huge hurricane that you're like locking windows, and it just finds a way to creep in.
Right.
And this story wanted to come out, but I wasn't able to look at the story in the face. And it wasn't until I read the book Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. I had already received the calling to write it, but I was like, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it the day after. Right. And this happened 10 years before. And then one day I heard this book on Audible, and I was in the shower, and I heard that part about when she says that if you don't receive the story when it wants to come in, it'll leave you and find somebody else. And that day, I made a promise to my story, and I told it that I made a promise, and I said, the next time you come, it doesn't matter if I'm in a taxi or in a somewhere uncomfortable, it doesn't matter what, I'm going to get up and I'm going to start writing. And that's what happened. I made the promise on my journal. And then one night I was in my bed, you know, in that limbo, and I got the first lines, and I was like, no, not tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. And then I remembered the promise, and I was like, no, this is now. So I got up out of bed and I started writing. I cried my eyes out. It felt so ridiculous to tell my husband, like, I think I'm writing a book.
When this came to you, did it sort of come to you as the beginning or as something that would be in it? Did it just sort of come to you, oh, this is how I'm going to write? You know, one day and so and so and so and so, and it was cloudy and it was a miserable day or whatever. But did it sort of come out as the beginning of the book, or did it come out as sort of a part in the book?
A part in the book.
It did.
Because it then morphed. I just did that brain vomit thing, and I just poured and poured and poured until a friend of mine told me, she would keep repeating, like, Anna, you're writing a book. You should talk to an editor. You should do this. You should do the other. and I wouldn't. And then one day I sent it to a writer friend, and he read it and he gave me a couple of tips.
Mm-hmm.
But those tips involved, and I loved. He gave me like 10 points, and I integrated like 5 or 6 of them, which were very powerful, and it got me to like kind of break the whole story apart, divide it into chapters. It just made me create this like index, and
so it put it in structure. It gave it structure,
mm-hmm. I had to kind of destroy what I had written and start all over. I had 100,000. I had at that point 30,000 words written, about 100 pages. And I kind of broke it down, and I got into a writing workshop, and I just kind of found a way to give myself structure and take it seriously. And that was the whole process. Like, at the beginning, it was the last thing on my to-do list, and it was the last thing. But the more I honored what wanted to come out and honored, like, not if this is the most... I honored the fact that it was the most important thing in my life, even though I didn't want to admit it because it felt ridiculous, the imposter syndrome and all that. The process of admitting to myself that this was really important to me, even though it could live in a drawer, like it didn't have to see the light, but it was very important to me to finish it. Because the whole process of writing it was also like very emotionally, so I had to finish it. And in order to finish it, I had to make it a priority. So I started opening more and more space in my life for it and giving it more seriousness, like getting workshops, finding help and finding the time and polishing it and making it better, like seeing it for what I wanted it to be.
Because it's one thing, isn't it? Sort of saying, yes, I'm going to write this. I'm going to write it because it's a record of what I'm going through. And like I said, it's like getting it out of you and getting it onto something else. And like you said, you could just then close the drawer and it's there and it's out. But it's the question, then, well, there must have been a conscious thing, you know, well, you know, yes, it's there, but I want to share this with other people.
Yeah.
What point did that sort of come to you and say, yeah, you know, it is my story, but if I tell people my story, perhaps it's going to help them?
Yeah, I had a lot of fear when I was writing it because I was talking about my family, and there's this expression in Panamanian, I don't know if it's everywhere in Spanish, but we say, los trapos sucios se lavan en casa, like you do your dirty laundry at home.
Right, yeah.
And I felt like I was violating all of the family agreements by writing that.
I'm trying to remember, I think the expression in English is, don't put your dirty washing out for everybody to see. You know?
So I was battling with that. So the only way that I could shush that voice was by saying, this can live in a drawer.
Right.
And then I can see that problem in the face when it's in my face. But right now, it's just me writing down a story. Like, right now, this is not a problem. So I did know that I had the dream of publishing the book. And then in the book, you can see how many magical, weird coincidences meant, like 80% of them are not in the book. Just a few of them are in the book. But all these things started happening. Like, let's say an example, like, let's say that week I had to write about a love story. And then that week in my workshop, the teacher would come up and say, this week we're going to write about a love story. And then it was just like all the time, these things. For example, like one of the things that happened to me was that I realized that I had been living under for 5 years of the person that found my mother's body. She was my neighbor, my upstairs neighbor.
Mm.
And like, it was just coincidence after coincidence that kept telling me that this book wanted to be born. So the way that I would calm down my mind was, if this book wants to be born, it'll be born. So let me just do my part, which is in the present moment, and it's writing it and doing my best and just putting in the hours.
Mm-hmm.
And the emotional space for it. So I kept doing that. And then when the time came, I did have to speak, especially with my dad and my stepmom, because when you read those first chapters about them, you hate them. People have written them like, I hate them with bile. I just want to kill them. In the end, you love them. But it was that fear of abandonment, of sharing that story with them. And I had to cope with it when I had to cope with it.
Sure.
So I did it, and I said, well, if they don't want it to be published, then it won't see the light. Because if this book wants to be born, it'll be born. So I just gave into my faith of what this book has given me, is this faith of what wants to happen will happen when you observe it and honor it. And then, so I gave it to them, and they're like, when are we celebrating? This is a bestseller. What are you talking about? They're like,
but this is what I was going to ask you, because obviously before, you know, you even sort of went into production, you gave this to people to read, to go through. What was the reaction then that came back to you? How did it come back to you?
One really special one was from my brother, who's like the current Minister of Tourism.
Oh, yes. Oh, good. We'll talk about that later.
and he's like the most bullied victim from the book.
Really?
Yeah. How he smells and how he wouldn't shower and all this. Like, it's the funniest chapter in the book. It's the laugh out loud chapter in the book. So I read it to him, and he's like, oh, Lord. Because it's just how he, like, it's funny. It's his own thing. But he was like, oh, wow. Oh, wow. This is really embarrassing. But I can't ask you to take anything out from it because it'll stop being what it is, which is really funny and cool. And so I think all of my family members are very private people.
Sure.
So it was like putting yourself in to that spot again.
Was there anybody that sort of came out to you and said that they objected to it, that they didn't want you to do it?
There was no formal objection, because there's support for what wanted to come out of my heart. Mm-hmm. It was just sort of kind of like I see you, but I don't understand you. Like, why would you want to call this attention to yourself?
Right.
Because
they're
all very private people. So why would you want to put yourself into the spotlight for this traumatic event? But then I just kind of explained that this trauma, that I don't see it I don't see it in darkness. I see it in light.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the possibility of that light in other people. And I just explained that. And then after that, they were supportive. They were like, if you blindly believe in this, then you have my full support. So more so than objection, it was bewilderment, I guess.
What's the matter? Why does she want to do this?
This weird woman. Mm. Like, and I just get weirder and weirder. Like, I want to start summer camp, and I want to do this, and I want to do that. I just up the ante in my family. And so, yeah, that was kind of...
Well, they're obviously very supportive. So
Yeah.
That's great. Well, I mean, I guess, you know, when you go through something like that anyway, as a family, the original event, you can't help but sort of look after each other, can you? It's something you've all had to deal with. It's something which is, I would imagine, probably brought you very, very close together as a family in the end. But tell me something, I'm just interested, I don't know whether you covered it, but how did, because you were young, you were 13, I think you said at the time. Did you get any sort of feeling about, you know, how the authorities were dealing with this, how they handled this? Did you get a lot of support from the local authorities? Or?
That's something that's also very prevalent in the book, and there's a lot of privilege in the book, and that was another thing that brought a lot of shame into publishing it. But one thing that you get from the book is that it's very honest. It's what it is.
Right.
And there's a lot of privilege. There's a lot of nanny here and this there. It is very obvious. I had a lot of shame for that for many years, especially when I worked in Darien. Like, I wanted to pretend that I didn't belong to this life. But it's very obvious in the book. And one of the main things in the book that has a lot of privilege is that when this happened, the president said, All the force in Panama, all the security in Panama will go towards finding this man.
Mm-hmm.
And if that wouldn't have happened, he would still. He escaped prison later, but he wouldn't have been found. And it just gives me such heartache. A for the women that had come forward first because they had been raped and they had said where he lived, where he worked, his name, everything about him. And they weren't given justice. And if they would have been given justice, my mother would still be alive. So it's kind of this polarity because we had a lot of privilege in finding him, and we had protection in the days between where he was, my mother was found, and when the killer was found. So there was privilege in that, but it shouldn't be privilege. For many years,
it should be. It should be the norm.
It should be the rule of law. It should be the rule of law. And if I had so much guilt for so many years that I thought that we had gotten justice because of our privilege, but then I understood that if rule of law was the case, my mother would be alive. And so it's just kind of that polarity. So in answer to your question, there was a lot of support, but if there would have been support for everybody, then this wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. I mean, well, we've only got to look at the news at the moment. There are a lot of women disappearing in Panama. But I mentioned it before we actually sort of went live, but a few years ago, I was asked if I would interview the mother of Catherine Joannette, the lady that was killed in Isla Bastimentos, I believe, in Bocas del Toro. And she was incredible. She's a little bit like you. She would talk about anything and everything to do with this, because it was at the time when they were appealing the original sentence, because it was considered to be too lenient, because her daughter was raped, robbed, and murdered. And one thing I'll say in that is, you talk about privilege. This is somebody that didn't have any privilege. She was, you know, tough. And I asked her almost similar question. You know, how were you treated by the authorities? And she was full of praise for the Panamanian authorities, the support that they gave her, the help they gave her and her other family when they came here, and the effort that went into finding the person that did it. And they did. In they arrested an 18-year-old man. Because at 18, you're not a kid, and it was trying to try him as a kid. But anyway, it went to appeal, and it went from 12 years to 24 years in prison. So I think what I say here, the security forces will do it when the spotlight's put on them. And because it was a tourist, because it happened, there was a spotlight. Your case was a spotlight. As well, and and if you look in a way at, you know, the sort of kind of success rate, there seems to be a reasonable success rate here with the police. Now let's move on from that to the book. The book is available.
Yeah,
now. Yeah,
finally. Is that yeah. Right? No. Yeah, it was wonderful because it had this beautiful everybody was interested in getting it, and I sold out in 2 weeks. After I got it, I published it in March 17th, and 2 weeks later, we were without books, so I had to order, and there's this shortage of paper worldwide, and so I got it back around 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, and so it's now in Rivas Smith, Hombre de la Mancha, and on my webpage, AnieSkilsen.com, and my Instagram, too, it's AnieSkilsen. And so, yeah, soon to be at a few Rochas, but right now it's Hombre de la Mancha, Rio Smith. And yeah. Amazon. Amazon is paperback and Kindle. It's free on Amazon Prime, actually.
I'm Amazon Prime. Yeah.
It's free. It's free on there.
And, you mentioned something which I do occasionally. I have a very, very, very short concentration thing. So I'm not even very good at reading. Because my mind's off doing something else. I told you about my issues with my mind. But, you know, my mind's off doing something else. So audiobooks, you see, they when you're driving, they're amazing.
I love them.
You ignore the traffic. Believe it or not, you can actually ignore the traffic if you read. And I think they're great. Audiobook for this one?
I have a podcast. So I'm a big, I love this, and I would And I dream of having my own audiobook, but I'm putting all of my effort right now. Actually, this edition is the last one that I'm going to print because I'm putting all of my effort into finding a publishing house.
Okay.
And what I understand of the process, the little that I've learned is that once you find your book agent, and that's what I'm trying to find. If you know one, call me.
Okay, book agents, call Yasmin 223-5162, or you can WhatsApp us on 677-18822.
Chance
to make some money here.
Yeah.
but tell me, I mean, this is interesting because you're already talking. I want a publisher, so another book. Now, you wrote this particular story, and it is special because it's very personal. It's something that is in your life. And what would you write next?
I look forward to writing a novel.
Okay.
But so I'm just right now just sketching ideas. My heart is somewhere else right now because I'm into this whole, as I mentioned, this whole process of like teaching about the magic of journaling and what you can achieve through that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not creating anything, any creative in that in the writing, but I have a separate journal where every time I get an idea down, like out of a character or somebody that I meet that has an interesting story, I write them down. So it's kind of like in the back seat, but it's in the car.
So you go around with a journal. I don't do it so much now. I used to go around with a little recorder, you know, when it's cool, because like you wake up in the middle of the night, go, yeah. And then you got, like, I mean, without my glasses, I'm blind anyway, so you can't. But yeah, it's a great idea. Have something to, you know, for anybody really, while you're out and about, something where you can actually put things down. You could be surprised how many things, you know, they come to you and then they slip away again. And,
That's it. And life happens to me. Life happens in my journal because I keep the lists and the life. And I always talk about the importance of being aligned mind and heart. Because if you have your doing, you're doing, doing, and it's not aligned with your being, then you're just kind of doing for somebody else or doing for somebody else's manual or story or what you should be doing. Whereas when you do based on who you are and where you want to be, then you're aligned. You feel joyful. Even when you're doing your accounts or doing your Excel sheets, joyful.
Don't let's exaggerate. You can't be joyful and happy.
If you
when you
play
do.
The right music, yes, you can.
Yeah, we do that here, by the way, just in case anybody's thinking. If you want to do your accounts in the mornings, we can help you out. Don't worry. Firstly, I mean, congratulations on sort of moving through what you went through and actually sort of putting it out, because I'm sure, you know, people that have suffered. Not necessarily so similar things, but suffering grief. It's about grief, isn't it? Really, and dealing with it. And you feel that's right? Dealing with grief.
I feel like it's the path. It's about the path from solitude to unity. It's the path of finding. I find that there's two ways of living. Either you can think that things happen to you.
Right.
In a victim mentality, or you can think that things happen for you.
Oh, I'm a great believer in it.
Switch it around and you think that whatever is happening for you, but maybe you don't understand it yet, but it's there to come, and you see it within the path of curiosity of what is this here? How am I evolving through this? Then you can have that experience of coming out the other side of the tunnel. So to me, this book is about seeing, observing what is through the lens of this is happening for me. What do you have in store for me, life? And then what comes out the other side?
And you'd be surprised. I mean, you mentioned it because I'm a great believer that some things happen for a reason. You know, that there is something. I can remember there's one particular one thing that I sort of wanted to aspire to, a certain position that I wanted to get to. And I didn't get to it when I wanted to because something happened and somebody else did it. But then the next time round, I did get it. Now, the thing is, if I had got it when I wanted to get it, I wouldn't have been able to do it because I had cancer. And it sort of basically, I carry on doing this, believe it or not, but It happened. Things, I do believe sometimes that, you know, things do happen. Well, yes, you want to do it, but hang on, you're going to have a problem. We'll do it next time. And in fact, this has happened to me in a number of occasions where I thought about wanting to do something, and then something happens, and then when it does come about, you think, now I know why.
I think that what you're saying, it's so important that there was a hummingbird out the window
mm-hmm.
when you were saying it.
Oh, they come and listen in every all morning there.
But I think I'm a big believer in magic and signs and everything, and it's still there, the hummingbird.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah, and I've always
found it's an insistent one.
It helps having a hummingbird feeder as well.
Yeah, true. It's right there. It's so beautiful. But yeah, I'm a big believer. I wanted to see that, and I'm very happy that I saw that. And I believe that things happen for you, and a closed door is also an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we mm-hmm. only want to see answers in open doors, and sometimes a closed door is also an answer.
Knock on the door. Find a way in. There we go. Annie, thank you so very much. Annie Skilson. And we'll have some information on our website today with regards to the book and where you can get hold of it, etc., etc. And a link to... We'll put a link on there to your journal as well.
Thank you.
So make sure we've got all those links. And that's it. Yes, I'm a little bit over time, but that doesn't matter. Big thanks to everybody this morning. My guest in this part of the show, Annie Skidson, and we'll have information on our website, thebreakfastshow.com.pa. With regards to her book. Big thanks also to Dr. Computer this morning for talking tech with us. Also to, of course, Yasmin here in the Breakfast Show studio, my producer, social media, and to our intrepid outdoor reporter Ingrid from her report today. Let's know that her bananas are doing well. And also to my co-producer Neil Danby. And we'll be back with you tomorrow. Tomorrow, what good grief it is, isn't it? It's Friday tomorrow, TGIF. So we'll be back with you tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock. And just remember, please, whatever it is you're going to be doing between now and then, do it carefully. Because you know what I say, what I want to be doing tomorrow morning? I want to be talking to you, not talking about you. All right, so from me, Jerry D. Till then, ta-da. You have been listening to The Breakfast Show, a Panama Broadcasting Corporation and Cool FM production. Presented by Jerry D, produced by Yasmin Kiros, co-producer Neil Danby. The Breakfast Show was brought to you thanks to Imprenta 24. You publish it, you'll sell it.